on Sundays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. In the name of Allah, from whom I hope for nothing but bounty, and from whom I fear nothing but justice. I rely only upon His word, and I cling only to His cord. In Thee I seek sanctuary, O possessor of pardon and good pleasure. From wrong and enmity, and from the changes of time, and the recurrence of sorrows, and from the striking of mishaps, and from the expiration of my term before preparation and readiness. From Thee I seek guidance to that wherein is righteousness and being set right. From Thee I seek help in that which is linked to success and favorable response. Thee I beseech for the garment of well-being and its completion, and for the covering of health and its permanence. I seek refuge in Thee, my Lord, from the goadings of the Satans. And I seek protection in Thy sovereignty from the injustice of the sovereigns. So accept my past prayers and fasting, and make my tomorrow and what is after better than my present hour and my today. And exalt me in my clan and my people, and protect me in my waking and my sleeping. For Thou art Allah, the best guardian, and Thou art the most merciful of the merciful. O Allah, I am quit before Thee on this day of mine and on all Sundays that follow it, of associating others with Thee and of heresy. And I devote my supplication sincerely to Thee, addressing myself to Thy response. And I observe the acts of obedience to You for the hope of Your rewards. So, bless Muhammad, the best of Thy creation, the summoner to Thy truth. Exalt me with Thy exaltation, which is never made to suffer loss. And protect me with Thy eye, which never sleeps. And seal my affair by cutting me off from everything but Thee and my life with forgiveness. Surely, Thou art the All-Forgiving, the All-Compassionate.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear listeners, Salamun Alaikum and welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. From Iran, you're listening to this program. We're going to speak about preparing for the month of Ramadan.
Love is everywhere. So much peace fills up the air. Ramadan, month of the Quran, I feel it inside me, strengthening my iman. But how I wish you'd be here with me all year around. Ramadan, 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 ya Habib. Ramadan, Ramadan, laytaka dawman qareeb.
But first, we look at the calendar. Today, Saturday, is the 28th of the month of Sha'ban, 1445 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 19th of Isfand, 1402 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 9th of March, 2024 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Let's start with verse 81 of chapter An-Nisa from the Holy Quran.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ويقولون طاعة فإذا برزوا من عندك بيت طائفة منهم غير الذي تقول والله يكتب ما يبيتون فأعرض عنهم وتوكل على الله وكفى بالله وكيلا.
And they say, we pledge obedience. But when they leave you, a group of them spend the night determining to do other than what you say. But Allah records what they plan by night. So leave them alone and rely upon Allah. And sufficient is Allah as disposer of affairs.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
In this verse, the Quran has pointed to the situation of some hypocrites. It says that when they come beside the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, they harmonize with others and express that they obey the command of the Holy Prophet. But when go out from the presence of the Prophet, they neglect their promises, and in their night meetings, they make some decisions against the Holy Prophet. Yet Allah commands His Messenger to turn aside from them with no fear. He is ordered not to rely on them in his affairs, but to trust only in Allah, who is the best assisting helper and the protector.
Shukran ya Rabbi, shukran. Hadayta qalbi, shukran. Warta darbi, shukran. Shukran ya Rabbi,
shukran ya Rabbi, shukran. هديت قلبي شكرا نورت دربي شكرا شكرا يا رب يا منزل القرآن يا خالق الإنسان يا رب يا رحمن شكرا يا رب.
As I told you, we're going to speak about preparing for the month of Ramadan. As the holy month of Ramadan draws near, all of us are busy working, getting on with our daily routines, forgetting the importance of preparation. It's vital that Muslims prepare the same way you would for an interview or an event. By doing this, you are attaining blessings from the very beginning till the end, instead of losing focus and the importance of fasting. Fasting is not just about the prohibition of food and drink. It is much more than that. It's a spiritual journey for ourselves and the ability to keep away from desires. The strength of our iman or faith is tested, and you are increasing your closeness with Allah to help with the arrangements you should start to prepare before the month of Ramadan.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. This is Ali, and we are going to talk about the etiquettes of entering the blessed month of Ramadan. In Islamic culture and the narrations of religious leaders, there are etiquettes and rituals for the beginning of every lunar month that strengthen the connection between the creation and the creator. keep the remembrance of Allah alive in memories and place man under the protection of His eternal power. Undoubtedly, this attention causes the solving of many problems and the avoidance of afflictions and harms. Among all the months, none compares to the glorious month of Ramadan, month of Allah's feast and hospitality, the best hospitality of the kind Lord. And this blessed month is the Holy Quran, which was revealed in this month. What better hospitality than the host sending a book for his guest that contains all human happiness? On the other hand, it is the month in which Laylatul Qadr, the night of destiny, lies, a night in which the fate of mankind for 1 year is determined according to their merits. Likewise, it is the spring of worship, the month of education and training, purity and piety, and righteousness and self-building. Therefore, the blessed month of Ramadan is one of the most precious months or times that we have, and properly benefiting from it, including entering this month, requires sufficient knowledge and understanding of its values. One cannot welcome the blessed month of Ramadan without preparation. There must always be readiness from both the host and the guest. The host must prepare the hospitality and the guest must prepare themselves in clothes and cleanliness. Since Allah's mercy is all-encompassing and endless, He is always ready to host. It is us who must prepare ourselves with etiquette and prerequisites mentioned in narrations to benefit the most from this precious opportunity and Allah's hospitality.
شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن.
In the holy month of Ramadan, the month of Allah.
Be with IRIB English Radio, today's special.
Every day for 15 minutes.
ومضات خير للعباد ومضات نور للفؤاد ومضات خير للعباد ومضات نور للفؤاد.
This is today's special and getting spiritually ready for the month of Ramadan. Performing more acts of worship towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during Ramadan brings great rewards. Prepare for Ramadan spiritually by spending some time beforehand perfecting your prayer and Quran recitation. Build up your confidence by leading prayer amongst your family and friends. Encourage yourself to recite more Quran during the day and make your prayer, both obligatory and recommended one, more spiritually fulfilling. Likewise, make finding recitation time easier on yourself by reading the Quran after prayer. Even if it's looking at the translation and listening to a recitation, any effort to improve your understanding of the Holy Quran will surely bring you closer to Allah.
أرجو رضاك يا
الله
أنت الرحيم يا
الله
هبني عطاك يا
الله
أنت الكريم ومنك العطاء يا
الله
أنت العظيم يا
الله
فيك الرجاء يا
الله
أنت الحليم
الرحمن الستار ملك الملك الغفار الوهاب المنان
الرحمن الستار ملك الملك الغفار الوهاب المنان المتعال
الله الله يا ربي يا الله
الله
يا ربي يا الله.
By the way, this is today's special from IRIB English Radio. In this part, we'll look at recommending du'as for the month of Ramadan. One of the du'as is du'a makarimul akhlaq, the honorable morals. This du'a has been taught by our fourth imam Imam Zainul Abidin, Imam Sajjad, peace be upon him, and is a clear indication of the loftiness of moral virtues expected of a believer. Islam believes in the elevation of the human being, that the human is a great and dignified creation, far above the animal world. One of the signs of this dignity is the possession of noble and magnanimous qualities. In order to achieve this behavioral excellence, man needs to overcome his base and selfish attributes and cultivate noble qualities. In this dua, the Imam Sajjad specifies these qualities and shows how we can try to inculcate them in ourselves. Taken as a lesson in akhlaq, the dua is a wonderful program for those who wish to excel in good manners. Muhammad al-Mustafa, the last prophet of Allah, peace be upon him and his family, says, "The most complete in faith among the believers is he who has the best manners." Sayyid Saleh Al-Ghazwini.
Like everything else, brothers and sisters, the month of Ramadan requires preparation for. It is not an event that should be taken lightly or one that we should just turn our attention to as it begins. Because sometimes we find ourselves in this situation, right? Suddenly we realize, you know, the crescent has been sighted. Ramadan, the month of Ramadan is here. And I begin my journey of spirituality with the beginning of the month. Now this is great. This is excellent. But like many other things in life, in order to fully appreciate, in order to fully take advantage of the month of Ramadan, we need to prepare ourselves in advance. We work towards purifying our souls. We work towards purifying our souls. What does this mean? You know, some of us, the question might come up, what's so important? We always hear about this idea of purifying the soul, purifying the soul. Why is this important? Why is there so much emphasis placed on this notion of purifying the soul? Simply, the simple answer to this, brothers and sisters, is that our souls are the receptacles of divine guidance. They are the receptacles of divine guidance. It is our soul that is able to either absorb or reject divine guidance and mercy. It's the receptacle, right? And so it is important for this receptacle, in order to be fully utilized, and so that it can fully absorb God's mercy, God's compassion, God's blessings, that it has to be pure.
Dear brothers and sisters, thank you very much for listening to this episode of today's special. I invite you to listen and follow us on parstoday.ir/en. There is a tab there, Call of Islam Radio. By selecting that, you can see the archive of all of our programs. And of course, it's nice to follow today's special. Thank you very much, and fi amanillah.
Subhanaka Rabbi, Subhanaka ma a'zama shanak, nad'uka wa narju ghufranak, nad'uka wa narju ghufranaka Rabbi.
Food for thought. Salam, friends, and let us listen to a thought-stimulating statement from Imam Muhammad Baqir, peace upon him. The tongue is surely the key to every good and evil. You should seal your tongue as you seal your money. The Prophet had said, "May Allah's mercy be upon the faithful believer who withholds his tongue from uttering any evil, for this would be an act of charity by him for his own self, since no one will be saved from committing sins before he seals his tongue."
Take pieces of bread from me, and your soul will never be broken. And if I am your haven, you will never be homeless. One whose cloak is me will never be naked. And one whose resort is me will never be destitute. God is above all powers. IRIB English Radio.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio with Sheikh Ammar.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. We have been discussing about the Hadith, which is known as the qualities of Shia. Imam Sadiq Salamullah Alayhi explains all the qualities of Shia in this hadith. Not all, but most of the important or necessary qualities of Shia. The first point mentioned by Imam was Shi'atuna Ahlul Wara, our Shia are pious people. We discussed about this topic. And the second and third topic is Wal Ijtihad wa Ahlul Wafa. Ijtihad means those who are diligent, they always try hard, they are not lazy. People of Ahlul Bayt, nation of Ahlul Bayt, basically nation of Islam, nation of Quran and God. Well, the series goes to Ahlul Bayt and Islam becomes complete when one follows Ahlul Bayt and their guidance and teachings. Here Imam Sadiq in this hadith explains about the qualities of Shia, and the second and third qualities been discussed in this hadith is Ijtihad wa Ahlul Wafa. Ijtihad means those who always try hard. We have a lot of hadith. There's a hadith mentioned in the Jihadun Nafs by Shaykh Hurri Amili, where Imam Sadiq says, "Mu'min, others are always happy and feel helpful, feel peaceful because of the help of a mu'min. But mu'min himself is always is tired because you are trying to help others. This is the point. Ijtihad means those who always try hard. And then Imam said, "Wa ahlul wafa." You are loyal. Loyalty is, I can say, in a sense, if a person is disloyal, not loyal, he is the most hated person in the eyes of Quran and Allah and Ahlul Bayt and Rasul, very clearly. Loyalty is one of the topmost quality of a mu'min, of a believer. Ahlul Wafa, this is the Ahlul Bayt wants from us. So mu'min, first of all, is pious, and then he's always trying hard. He is bearing lots of troubles to help others, to feed his family, to support his neighbors, to support his friends. And he himself lives with the least. With the least what he need, that's it. But if you have wealth, if you have a charming life, if you have desires, you can live according to your status. You want to have bigger home, bigger life, but always beside that, try hard for others as well. Mu'min is always trying hard for himself, for others, for his family, for his parents, for his friends, for his community. Being in the state of ijtihad means you're always trying hard. And then beside that, a mu'min is always ahlul wafa. You are the loyal person. Mu'min has to be loyal because loyalty is one of the topmost quality Allah wants from us. I can give an example. Many years ago, one of my teachers said in Hawza Ilmiya, maybe 17, 18 years ago, he said, "If I don't come tomorrow, you can assume that I am dead." So that's why he was loyal on his duty, because he said, "My job is teaching. I have to teach you students. So I have to manage. I have to come every day. I have to come every day. If I don't come, if I don't show up tomorrow for theirs, for lecture, for class, that means you can assume that I am dead." That's how I am loyal. That's how I feel myself responsible for my duties. Loyalty, if you promise, then you have to stand with your promise. Keep your promise always. Mu'min is always the man of loyalty and promise. Means these are the ornaments of mu'min. These are the qualities of mu'min. We have to have these qualities to prove ourselves to Ahlul Bayt that we are Shia. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Sheikh Ammar in the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
فدعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم. السلام عليكم, respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners of IRB English Radio. Thank you so much for joining us. Today, here we are with brother Fawad Haider, and I'm really happy to say hello to him. Fawad, salam, how are you?
Salam, sir, I'm fine. How about you?
Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for joining us today. Inshallah, today we'll talk about Surah An-Nisa, verse 14 on page 79. Fawad, ready to listen first to the recitation?
Yes.
Alright.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
ومن يعص الله ورسوله ويتعد حدوده يدخله نارا خالدا فيها وله عذاب مهين.
That was a nice recitation, mashallah. Brothers and sisters, stay with IRIB English Radio every day, the same time, inshallah. We'll have a Quranic session on practical tajweed rules and practicing the recitation of the Quranic Kareem, inshallah. And also, we'll have a short explanation. So, in this ayah, Fawad, let's talk about this ayah, like just a bit, explain it, okay? From the Tafasir books. Then, inshallah, for the details and more explanations, first and foremost, I want Fawad and our brothers and sisters who are listening to IRIB English Radio right now, I want you, inshallah, to refer to the Tafasir books and read more. So, Fawad, Allah Almighty says in Ayah 14 of Surah An-Nisa, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ومن يعص الله ورسوله ويتعد حدوده يدخله نارا خالدا فيها وله عذاب مهين. Very beautiful ayah, and this is a warning for us, okay? For anybody who believes in God, anybody who believes in Islamic rulings, okay? Ahkam, for what? All right? So this is a warning. In the previous ayah, look. Tilka hududullah. Allah Almighty said, Tilka hududullah. These are the Allah Almighty's rulings, okay? وَمَن يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ. In the previous ayah, Allah Almighty says what? وَمَن يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ. The one who obeys. But in this ayah, Allah Almighty says what? But whoever disobeys Allah and His apostle. So obedience and disobedience. These two are compared in these two verses. So in the previous verse, we talked about this, that whoever obeys Allah Almighty and His apostle, what will happen to them? Yudkhilhu Jannat. Allah Almighty will let them enter the Jannah. Okay? And in this ayah, Allah Almighty says, whoever disobeys Allah and His apostle, وَيَتَعَدَّ حُدُودَهُ, and transgresses the bounds set by Allah Almighty and crosses the red lines, okay? The red lines. So what happens? In the previous ayah, those who are obeying, يُدْخِلْهُ jannat. In this ayah, those who disobey, يُدْخِلْهُ
النار.
النار. يُدْخِلْهُ نَارًا خَالِدًا فِيهَا. He shall make him enter a fire to remain in it forever. وَلَهُ عَذَابٌ مُهِينٌ. And there will be humiliating punishment for him. So what happens? Why is this? Look, there is like a list of instructions. You got a goal, a purpose, okay? Like the previous example, I want to give you the same example here. A muscular body. You want to get ready for example, a competition, okay? So this is like, for example, what do you say? That is like a competition, okay, that needs you to be so muscular, okay? Bodybuilding show, okay? So here, you got to get ready. You got what? For example, 1 year time to get ready for that competition, okay? Bodybuilding competition, okay? So here, you got to get ready. Go and work out. You go to a gym, you go to a trainer, you ask him, sir, I need to get ready for this competition. So, can you please give me some kind of instructions so I can get ready? So, the coach, okay, or the trainer gives you like a list of instructions and do's and don'ts. Yes, that you have to do these things, you have to avoid these things. So, you want to get that to that like muscular body, that body shape, yeah, you want to have. So, there are two cases. You go, follow the instructions, you get to the goal. So, what happens? The result?
You win the competition.
Gotcha. The result is that you win. What about you kind of become, you show laziness, you don't make your efforts to follow all the instructions like completely and correctly. What happens to you? The date of the competition arrives, okay? This is, for example, the competition day. What happens to you? How do you feel?
Ashamed.
Why? Why I didn't do? You will like like what? You burn in, from inside. Why? Why? I had time. I had the instructions. I had everything. I just became lazy. That's what happens exactly to a person who has the instructions, Islamic instructions, but he does not follow. So in the Day of Judgment, he will be ashamed of himself that he sees everybody is having like a happy life. They are going to Jannah, and he is not going to Jannah. Of course, he will regret that day. That's the message. Inshallah, go to the Fasir books, okay? And learn about the Islamic rulings more and more, about the explanation more.
قرآني في قلبي دوما يغمرني من فيض ضياء آيات المولى.
IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Xavier International Schools presents
والكون الواسع في صدري أحضنه أرضا.
Let's recite the Quran.
So, Fawad, that's it from the explanation. That was a nice message, yes? Fawad, now it's time for what?
Tajweed rules.
Brothers and sisters, thank you so much for being with us up to now. Now it's time to mention some Tajweed rules and practice the recitation of this ayah. Fawad, what do you think the first important point here in this ayah should be like about Tajweed? It should be
pronunciations
of the letters. So would you please help us with the letters that we really must focus on and pay attention to them to pronounce them correctly, and they might be a bit difficult. So
the first one is wa.
Wa. All right. So wa. We don't have va in Arabic. That's a nice point. Wa. Like W. You say what? When? You don't say when. That V sound we have in English, like very. All right. But we don't have it in Arabic. So we have wa sound. All right. Next one.
Ain.
Ain. Ain doesn't exist in English, so we have it in Arabic. So all you need to do is like pronounce it with a throaty sound. Pull some air back, okay? Very easy. Go on.
Then sod.
Sod. It has like a whistling sound. Not too much. No. It's a bit different from the scene. Okay, next one.
Ha.
Ha. Nice one. Ha, the soft one. It's the same as H sound in English. Next.
Ha.
Ha, the throaty one. Nice one. Ha and ha. Okay, next one. Kha, right? Khalidan fiha. Kha.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a heavy sound. And the last one.
Dhal.
Dhal, adhab. So these letters are important. They matter really much, okay? And you should pay attention to them. Okay, the Tajweed rules now, the recitation. One thing for what, I think we have many rules, and I'm sure many rules, four rules, yes? For Tanween and Noon Sakin. So here we got a Tanween, Waman. Then we have the letter Ya. Can you explain about the Tanween and Noon Sakin? The rules?
So when Tanween or Noon comes,
okay,
Noon Sakin.
All right.
The next letter
matters.
After,
uh-huh.
Matters. Uh-huh. After the word.
Okay.
So it should be in the group of four basic rules.
Uh-huh. Okay. Noon. Which rules?
Idgham.
Idgham.
Idhar, Ikhfa, and Iqlab.
And Iqlab. So these four rules. Idgham, Ikhfa, Idhar, and Iqlab. So it means you say that we should apply one of these rules right after the
Nun Sakin and Tanween.
So that letter that comes after the Nun Sakin or Tanween, it matters. It should match one of these four letters, four groups, yes?
Four groups of letters.
Uh-huh. So Ya, like in which group?
It's in group of the Yarmalun letters, consists the rule Idgham.
Idgham. So what does it mean, Idgham?
So it basically means merging.
Oh, merging this way.
Yeah, to noon, and you make a double noon sound.
All right,
like more
double ya sound. You mean yes?
Yes, double.
Yeah, double ya sound. So this way, waman is changed to wamay, right? Wamay ya'sillaha,
وَرَسُولَهُ. So that's all. وَيَتَعَدَّ حُدُودَهُ. Do you see the baby wow? What does it say? You should stretch it. Extend the sound or stretch it, yeah? Yeah. All right, good. So for two counts. وَيَتَعَدَّ حُدُودَهُ يُدْخِلْهُ. For the dalev, it appears sakin. Yes. Do we have a rule? Yeah, there are five letters. All right, which letters? Which, if they're sakin. All right. قُطْبِجَتْ letters. قُطْبِجَتْ قَاف, طَا, بَا, جِيم, and دَال. So, brothers and sisters, if these five letters are sakin, we pronounce a bouncing or an echoing sound for them, like يُدْ. يُدْخِلْهُ, mashallah. Thank you. يُدْخِلْهُ. So if you want to recite it beautifully, you have to follow this rules, yes? An echoing sound produced with the dal. يُدْخِلْهُ. Right. Now, رَنْ خَالِدًا. We got a tanween. After the tanween, we have خَا. So it's izhar. No izhar. Difference. So it means what? No change. No changes. Good, good. Now, رَنْ خَالِدًا. خَا. It's a heavy letter. Yes. Pronouncing with a heavy sound, yes? Yes. خالدًا. Oh, خالدًا. Okay, خالدًا has a tanween. Then fa. Fa matches the rest of the letters. And we should? Hide the sound. خالدًا فيها وله عذاب مهين. Tanween plus ميم. إدغام. إدغام. Merge the sound. عذاب مهين. So, I'll recite. Let's practice this together. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Brothers and sisters, practice with us. وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَيَتَعَدَّ حُدُودَهُ وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَيَتَعَدَّ حُدُودَهُ يُدْخِلْهُ نَارًا خَالِدًا فِيهَا وَلَهُ عَذَابٌ مُهِينٌ صَدَقَ اللَّهُ الْعَلِيُّ الْعَظِيمُ. أحسنتم ما شاء الله. Thank you so much. Brothers and sisters, we hope inshallah you have learned this and this session was beneficial for you. Thank you so much for being with us. Thanks Fawad for being with us and practicing with us today. Inshallah, next session will continue with Surah An-Nisa. Thanks to Arab English Radio. Thank you so much, brothers and sisters, for being with us. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa alihi al-tahirin. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajjil farajahum.
Let's recite the Quran. A joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن.
Allah, 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 All Assalamu alaikum everyone. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Ocean of Dua. Here we are for another lesson and another journey to the profound ocean of spiritual insight. This is Mujtaba Farzaneh, your host for today's episode. Since we are getting closer and closer to the blessed months of Ramadan, we are spending our last episodes discussing the holy verses of Whispered Prayer Sha'baniya. Let's open our hearts and listen to today's segment of the Munajat. Through these discussions, we aim to raise awareness and put what we have learned into practice. So let's waste time no more and get into today's section of the dua. I'll be right here with you every step of the way.
إلهي أقمني في أهل ولايتك مقام من رجى الزيادة من محبتك إلهي وألهمني ولهن بذكرك إلى ذكرك وهمتي في روح نجاح أسمائك ومحل قدسك.
Now that we have admired the beauty of these lines, let's read their English translation. My Lord, place me among those who show servitude to you, the position of those who consistently hope to increase your love. My Lord, please inspire me with a mounting passion for your remembrance and with an enthusiasm for the refreshing resort to your names and the station of your holiness. Alhamdulillah, we had tawfiq to have an extensive discussion on the meaning and different categories of wilaya. In our previous episode, we concluded the discussion of shaitan's wilaya. Inshallah, in this episode, we will talk about the wilaya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Referring to our previous episode where we discussed the meaning of wilaya, we said that it denotes an effective relation in which one party is attentive to the other. The wilaya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is as simple as that, to show submission and devotion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This straightforward view of wilaya has a lot of implementations and ramifications on a variety of other disciplines in Islam to the extent that causes separations of denominations and sects. As an instance, we can mention the theological consequences of wilaya in Shia and Sunni perspective. Shia considers wilaya exclusive to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and therefore the leadership of Islamic society must be in hands of those who are chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, in Sunni thought, the leader of a society could be elected by the individuals. Jurisprudentially speaking, Shia jurists have long discussed the limits and boundaries of the wilaya of a jurist in the time of ghaiba. Some are very strict, while the others have a more lenient perspective in this regard. Some believe that a jurist is not allowed to spend the Islamic tax, whereas others believe in jurist authority over the monetary turnover. Back to our own discussion, we must know that the key element in getting under Allah's wilaya is to obey Him. Even the Noble Quran instructs Prophet Muhammad sallallahu to prostrate in order to get nearer to His Almighty. The cornerstone of devotion is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is actually the first step to discipline ourselves and to start to know God. In the Quran we read, مَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ I have not created jinn and mankind except to worship me. Many of the Quran's exegetes have narrated a hadith in this regard that shows by worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to know Him. The formula is even made simpler now. Worship Allah, know Allah, join His wilaya. Let's take a short break and I'll come back before soon.
Alhamdulillah, we have been given the blessed opportunity of witnessing another month of Sha'ban, which is the month of Allah's mercy and pleasure. حَفَفْتَهُ بِالرَّحْمَةِ وَالرِّضْوَانِ. Allah has covered this month with His pleasure and mercy. I thought it might be good to have a little introduction to Munajat Sha'baniyya. The late Imam Khomeini in many places on several occasions emphasized on this Munajat, and in one of his sayings he said that there are many important mystical points that one can understand from the Quran and whispered prayers of Imams. And then in particular he mentioned Munajat Sha'baniyya, and he said philosophers, mystics may be able to understand some aspects of these whispered prayers, but if someone wants to really understand, must be a person who has himself achieved a high level of closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that he can have a taste, he can have an experience of what he says. In another place, the late Imam Khomeini said something very important. He said, this Munajat Sha'baniyya is one of the whispered prayers that if someone pays attention to it and follows it and reflects on it, he can reach somewhere. He can achieve some levels of perfection. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us in this month of forgiveness and to be pleased with us in this month of pleasure. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us, our families, our community, all humanity with His pleasure, with His reward, with the coming of Imam Mahdi ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif, with forgiveness, with being able to remain always on the right path.
There is another type of wilaya which has often been overlooked, and that is social wilaya. Apart from the guardianship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over His creation, which is called wilaya, there can be another type of wilaya between the believers for one another. In chapter Tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْضٍ. The true believers, men and women, some of them are comrades of one another. This indicates the hierarchical nature of wilaya, and that we have to establish this form among each other. We have to be attentive to our brothers and sisters within our society, deem their problems as ours, and help them whenever we can. Once a companion of Imam Baqir alayhi salam approached him and asked a question. I have come from a city where you have many followers. Why don't you revolt against this tyrant regime? He said. Imam inquired, are you that close to one another to pick money from each other's pockets without asking for permission? He shockingly responded, no. Then Imam mentioned that in order to uprise against the tyranny, true believers must develop the social wilaya to the extent that nothing can break their unity. We ought to establish and maintain this sort of relationship within our community consciously and voluntarily. Now that we're spending the last days of Sha'ban and we are getting closer to the months of Allah's mercy, let's take a step towards creating this form of wilaya all together. Until next time, do not forget to keep us in your dua. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Sha'ban bjamalak jalalak zahawba wal'alam yqillak ahibak ya Sha'ban. شعبان بجمالك جلالك زغوبان
شعبان بجمالك جلالك زغوبان والعالم يقول لك احبك يا شعبان
والعالم يقول لك يا
شعبان بجمالك
شعبان شعبان احبك يا شعبان يا شعبان احبك يا شعبان.
Every night and every day, every night and every day, never forget to say La ilaha illallah. Never forget to say La ilaha illallah.
IRIB English Radio, a herald of unity and solidarity amongst Islamic denominations.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to IRIB English Radio, where we will be exploring the Islamic upbringing of children and youth, guided by the wisdom of the Quran and the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt. Today we are honored to have Sister Salma Khalfan, a distinguished Islamic researcher, with us to shed some light on this important subject. Salaamu Alaikum, Sister Salma, and thank you so much for joining us today.
Alaikum Salaam wa Rahmatullahi wa Barakatuh. Thank you so much for having me over.
So we have been discussing this question for a few episodes, and you know about how to guide the teenage son, especially before they grow up and before it's too late.
Yeah.
And you gave some very nice important points where, you know, you mentioned about trustworthiness, truthfulness, grateful to parents, like how to inculcate all of these characteristics in the child. And the last point we have been discussing was, you know, how to instill not getting attracted to this world and the worldly things in easily, and
material,
that at times, yeah, this material stuff, which at times is very difficult. So you've been mentioning that. Do you have anything more to say about that, or should we go to the next point?
Yeah, we go to the next point now. The next point is wasting time and money. It's important to inculcate that to a young child when he grows up about maybe 11, 12,
yeah,
when you start giving him some pocket money to choose, maybe buying his stuff or maybe for school or something like that. You have to really gently explain him that this money doesn't come by easy, and you don't have to waste it or, you know, just lose it. Sometimes this child is so careless that he just puts aside his money and loses it, or it's being stolen or stepped,
yeah,
things like that. Or not to waste it. For example, waste in buying things that are unnecessary, or keep on buying things that, you know, or, okay, use to what you require
need.
And need.
Yeah.
And also you at the same time, don't go to places where your daughter or son feels that you're shopping every day.
Yeah.
You know, some mothers have this habit that they want to shop the best clothes and they keep on shopping, and then the child asks, but you have this at home. The child is innocent. They'll ask them, but you have this, you have two of these at home.
Yeah.
Why do you want to buy? And the mother says, no, just for my own fancy. For example, I like the style of it. So the child will also learn. Yeah, when you like a style of it, you keep on buying. But that's nothing other than israf.
Yeah, and yeah, I think it's sometimes there's this fine line between wasting and kind of thinking that this is not important. So, for example, I remember there was a time when I was young, when I used to, like, my flash disks, I was given flash disks and it got lost. And this, you know, my mom was like, it's not good, you know. So I was like, no, this is worldly things, you know, you don't have to care about these things.